You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Wednesday, October 6, 2021. Coming back to life. Henry Hub physical flows hit 13-year highs amid rising LNG exports. Published by Sheetal Nasta. Henry Hub has long been the center of the universe for the lower 48 natural gas market, but what it represents has changed dramatically since its inception, particularly over the past decade. It has gone from being a benchmark pricing location for a vibrant producing region, to being situated in the fastest growing demand region, and a key hub for wheeling feed gas supply to the proliferating LNG export facilities in Louisiana, all with little change to its infrastructure. As this occurred, the gas price at Henry has gone from being among the lowest in the country to one of the most premium. Physical volumes exchanged at the hub, which have always been dwarfed by financial trades there and still are, have climbed in recent years and are now at the highest level since 2008. Moreover, the inflows are concentrated on just a couple of pipelines, and those key interconnects are at risk of becoming constrained. In today's RBN blog, we provide an update on the shifting gas flows at Henry Hub. The last time physical flows at Henry Hub were this high, in the 2008 to 2009 time frame, Gulf of Mexico offshore natural gas production was well over 6 BCF per day. The Haynesville Shale in western Louisiana was still in its early stages of growth and volumes had just started to take off. The Marcellus Shale in Appalachia was still in its infancy, and all the offshore and onshore supply converging on the pipeline network in Louisiana, including Henry Hub, was flowing northbound to serve the gas-thirsty northeast markets. Now offshore production is less than half of what it was then, but Haynesville production hit a record 13.4 BCF per day in September, according to the Energy Information Administration's Drilling Productivity Report, or DPR. The same pipelines that used to flow north now bring 3 to 5 BCF per day of Marcellus Utica gas supply into Louisiana, mostly via Perryville Hub in northeastern Louisiana, and yes, Henry Hub in the southeast, to meet growing demand along the Gulf Coast, primarily feed gas for LNG exports. The Henry Hub pricing location in Vermilion Parish, Louisiana, has been used as the basis for domestic gas deals for decades and is the delivery mechanism for the third largest commodity futures trading instrument in the world, the CME NYMEX Henry Hub Natural Gas Futures Contract, behind only WTI and Brent crude. In recent years, it also served as the benchmark for the first wave of U.S. LNG export contracts. We delved into the formation, evolution, and rationale for the benchmark trading location in our Henry the Hub IMIM blog series, and we highly recommend you revisit those blogs to learn how the hub works, but the physical infrastructure at the hub has changed little over the decades, and, despite its industry benchmark status and highly liquid futures contract, physical gas flows utilizing those assets were not the driving force there. In fact, physical trade volumes at Henry historically were driven less by physical flows and more by intra-hub transfers, or IHT, a behind-the-scenes accounting mechanism that gives counterparties the ability to exchange gas there through title transfers, without any physical movement of gas. In the first half of the past decade, physical flows and IHTs were even lower, as gas production volumes from offshore Gulf of Mexico and the Haynesville Shale declined. Henry receipts fell from around 700 million cubic feet per day in early 2008 to less than 200 million cubic feet per day by 2012 and to less than 100 million cubic feet per day in late 2015 and early 2016. But as we discussed in Roll With Me Henry a few years ago, physical flows through Henry Hub began ticking up again starting in late 2016, early 2017 as the first wave of LNG export projects began coming online. In November 2018, volumes briefly topped the 500 million cubic feet per day mark on a monthly average basis for the first time since early 2009, and averaged 385 million cubic feet per day for the year, also the highest since 2009. This occurred primarily due to three main factors: a Haynesville production recovery starting in 2017, rising LNG export demand in southwestern Louisiana, and an influx of supplies in Louisiana from other regions, particularly the Northeast, which initially occurred through displacement and eventually as physical inflows, to serve that incremental demand. Flows through Henry Hub pulled back somewhat in 2019 and much of 2020, averaging 313 million cubic feet per day and 364 million cubic feet per day, respectively. A number of factors likely contributed, but with Henry flows being increasingly driven by LNG feed gas demand, they were also more affected by the same factors that disrupted exports and feed gas demand in 2019 to 2020, hurricanes and cargo cancellations. Haynesville output also stagnated, and then dipped, during this time. In 2021, however, LNG feed gas demand has bounced back with a vengeance. There is now nearly 10 BCF per day of feed gas demand along the Gulf Coast, up from less than 4 BCF per day in 2018, and about 6 BCF per day of that is in the Bayou State at the Sabine Pass and Cameron LNG terminals. Some of the pipelines that cross through southern Louisiana and Henry also serve demand along the Texas Gulf Coast, where the Corpus Christi and Freeport LNG export facilities can now pull in an incremental 4 BCF per day of feed gas at full utilization. All but four of the pipelines, Acadian, Sea Robin, Jefferson Island, and Bridgeline, serving the hub are long-haul interstate and interregional pipeline systems that move gas supply north to south, from the Mid-Continent and northeast to the western Gulf Coast via key Louisiana and Texas hubs. A number of these systems have been contracted on a firm basis specifically by liquefaction facility operators or their third-party capacity holders for delivery of feed gas to LNG export facilities, both in Louisiana and Texas. Not all these contracts are routing feed gas supply from Henry directly, but what happens elsewhere along the system can affect flows through the hub, given the interconnectivity of these pipes across Louisiana. As a result, Sabine Pipeline supply receipts, a proxy for the hub flows, have more than rebounded this year, surpassing 2018 and hitting the highest levels seen in flow data history going back to 2008. Year-to-date volumes have averaged about 535 million cubic feet per day, topping the previous high of 507 million cubic feet per day for the same period in 2008. Single-day flows peaked above 600 million cubic feet per day in seven of the past 9 months and exceeded 700 million cubic feet per day in April and June, when LNG feed gas deliveries also peaked, a first since early 2009. For injection season to date, volumes through the hub have averaged 560 million cubic feet per day, up from the previous high of 472 million cubic feet per day in 2008. In the context of the hub's infrastructure and connectivity, these higher flows are still well below its combined receipt and delivery capacity. There are nearly a dozen pipelines that interconnect at Henry Hub, many of them bidirectional, providing both ample receipt and delivery capacity and a wide breadth of options. The backbone of the hub is in Link Midstream's Sabine Pipeline, which then has interconnects with 11 other systems, Columbia Gulf or CGT, Gulf South, Bridgeline Interstate, Natural Gas Pipeline of America or NGPL, Sea Robin, Southern Natural or Sonnet, Texas Gas, Trunkline's High and Low Pressure Lines, Acadian and Jefferson Island Storage. Depending on the combination of receipt and delivery points, these interconnects total as much as 3 BCF per day of receipt capacity inside the hub and as much as 2.6 BCF per day in delivery capacity. However, the bulk of the incremental volumes have been concentrated on just a couple of key supply routes for LNG feed gas deliveries, increasing the risk of constraints. A look at pipeline-level data from our good friends at Genscape shows that Sabine Pipeline supply receipts have seen short-term increases from several interconnects in the past year or so. Two receipt points in particular have been flowing at consistently higher levels, CGT and Gulf South. Henry Hub receipts from CGT, which brings Appalachian gas supply south into Louisiana, were almost non-existent in the 2008 to 2015 time frame, with volumes barely getting above 50 million cubic feet per day on average in any month. By 2018, however, as southbound expansion projects were completed on the system, volumes were bumping up against the interconnect's capacity of 130 million cubic feet per day in most injection season months, April through October. And in 2021, that interconnect is largely maxed out. Flows peaked in February at nearly 132 million cubic feet per day and have remained higher throughout the year, averaging 124 million cubic feet per day year to date, the highest level in flow data history going back to 2008 and at 95% of capacity at the point. Receipts from Gulf South, which moves Mid-Continent and Haynesville shale gas supply east across Louisiana to the Perryville and Henry hubs, had been range-bound mostly in the 0 to 150 million cubic feet per day range. But volumes jumped to 250 million cubic feet per day on average in October 2020 for the first time, and in 2021, they've reached nearly 400 million cubic feet per day on some days and averaged nearly 300 million cubic feet per day year-to-date. The interconnect's capacity is 400 million cubic feet per day, so with the recent gains, Gulf South's deliveries to the hub are also close to becoming constrained. As for where the incremental flows are going, the bulk of incremental receipts at the hub are being delivered to one interconnect, NGPL. It's no coincidence that NGPL is also one of the primary pipelines moving feed gas to the Sabine Pass Terminal, both from Texoke in northeastern Texas and from Henry Hub. Sabine Pass has a 10-year firm commitment for 350 million cubic feet per day at NGPL's interconnected Henry Hub that kicked on with the start of Train 1 in April 2016. NGPL has also been working to expand its Louisiana system. On October 1, 2020, the pipeline placed into service its Sabine Pass Compression Project, expanding the capacity on its Louisiana system by 400 million cubic feet per day to increase deliverability to the terminal. The capacity was fully contracted by Sabine Pass. It's worth noting that the firm capacity from Henry Hub is likely the swing contract for Sabine Pass feed gas for now, meaning it can be used on peak demand days for incremental volumes or to offset supply disruptions from other feeder pipelines, but it's not necessary for meeting the facility's full feed gas requirements for the first five liquefaction trains. That also means it could potentially be used to increase feed gas to Sabine Pass while Train 6 ramps up and other expansions are still under construction. Henry deliveries to NGPL were effectively zero prior to 2016, and it wasn't until April of that year, around the time when Sabine Pass's Train 1 was coming online, that NGPL began consistently taking more than 100 million cubic feet per day at Henry Hub. By late 2016, that rose to more than 200 million cubic feet per day on average, with some days above 300 million cubic feet per day. In 2021 to date, volumes have averaged 312 million cubic feet per day, which is still about half of the interconnect capacity of 640 million cubic feet per day. Henry Hub's physical flows are still relatively small compared to the futures trade volume, but it is clearly playing a bigger role as a destination for physical volumes targeting LNG export demand. That role is likely to grow as additional liquefaction capacity is added along the Louisiana shoreline in the coming months, with the completion of Sabine Pass Train 6 and the startup of Venture Global's Calcasieu Pass, and pipeline expansions, like CGT's Louisiana Express project. As for how this affects LNG index to Henry prices, well, that comes down to individual contract types and where and how the feed gas supply is sourced, among other things. But overall, Henry Hub is likely to continue to experience the upward price pressure associated with that still growing demand, but also be increasingly buffeted by competing forces, from growing constraints in Louisiana's pipeline grid, and at individual interconnects at Henry Hub, to hurricanes and other factors that disrupt export activity and, in turn, feed gas demand. We saw some of the resulting cash futures price volatility and disconnects last fall, as we noted then. We wouldn't be surprised to see more of that as LNG export capacity additions continue to influence gas flow patterns in the region. Coming Back to Life was written by David Gilmour and appears as the eighth song on Pink Floyd's 14th studio album, The Division Bell. Gilmour has said that the song was about his wife, author Polly Sampson. It is the only song from the album to be credited solely to Gilmour. Personnel on the record were David Gilmour on vocals and guitar, Richard Wright on synthesizers and organ, Nick Mason on drums, Guy Pratt on bass, and Gary Wallace on percussion. The Division Bell was recorded between January and December 1993 at Britannia Row, Astoria, Abbey Road, and Metropolis in London, with production handled by Bob Ezrin and Gilmour. Released in March 1994, the album went to number one on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. It has been certified 3 times platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 2 singles were released from the LP. Pink Floyd were an English rock band formed in London in 1964 by Syd Barrett, Nick Mason, Roger Waters, Richard Wright, and Bob Close. 6 people have passed through the band since its inception till its official breakup in 1994. The band reunited for a one-off benefit concert in 2005 and an appearance at a Syd Barrett tribute concert in 2007. Syd Barrett died in 2006 and Richard Wright in 2008. Drummer Nick Mason is the only Pink Floyd member who was there from the start of the band until the end. The band has released 15 studio albums, 4 live albums, 9 compilation albums, 6 EPs, and 27 singles. They have sold more than 250 million records worldwide. They are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the UK Music Hall of Fame. Gilmour, Waters, and Mason have separate careers and continue to record and tour as solo artists.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.